is hot. I had tears and mucus. Some of us just call that snot. I mean, all over me. And I was crying out, God, get me out of here. That's all I want you to do is get me out of here. If you are a God, if there's any love in your heart, if there's any grace or mercy in your heart, the next sound I hear will be a helicopter. Get me out of here. I've got to get out of here. I mean, you know, the more I tried to worship God, I was just, somebody would have thought I was totally, absolutely insane. But I wasn't. I was to the end of myself. In that, I've come to that end several times, folks. Self has a big end to it. Yeah. Thank God the Lord is large enough to encompass it all. He is the end of it all. But I'm yet coming to that end. And I exhausted myself. I mean, exhausted myself. I just exhausted myself, and there I lay in a big lump of despair. And I'm back in the jungle, son. I mean, I am back in the jungles. You can't get an automobile to where I am. Obviously, there's no electricity. There's no nothing there except kerosene lanterns and candles. And we're there building a school. First gathering up the people. Well, anyway, sometime in the middle of the night, I was awake. I was just laying there listening. And the grace of God. I mean, I can see it in this trip. And this trip, I can see it. Because it's salvation. It's salvation. You know, we don't have to come to despair, but when we do, God just has one answer. We don't have to get all balled up in circumstances, but we do. But when we do, God just has one answer. He is faithful to His answer. God is faithful to this door, man. He's faithful to His Son. He's faithful to the finished work. He's faithful to what He's accomplished in Christ. He's faithful to it. He knows that. He's faithful to the truth, the way, the life. He's faithful to it. He will deal with you that way because there's no other way to deal with you other than dealing with you just as a nobody, just as a non-existent, as a sinner, as a dead man, as an Egyptian. Well, the Israelites weren't Egyptians. And they weren't now in Egypt, but they didn't know where they were. They didn't know where they were. A voice came to me in the middle of the night. I mean, very clear within me. Very clear. Son, where are you? I'm hollering, get me out of here, get me out of here, get me out of here, get me. That's all I'm hollering. Son, where are you? And an answer started to arise in my heart. And this was the answer. You know very well where I am. I'm in the armpit of the earth. Just that way. You won't talk about it. I was mad, brother. I was disgusted. By then I just lost it all. And this is what I said. That came up in my heart. And before, that fast, before I could say it, the realization, that God had been trying to work in me for years, that I'd been preaching to others for years, but never really faced with in crisis, that truth came just that fast. And I stopped and I began to be afraid and I began to repent and ask forgiveness. I said, oh God, I am in your Son. I am in Christ. Sanity returned. But it didn't seem to satisfy God on my behalf at that point in time. Because after I made that confession, that same voice came back again and said, "Well, would you have me get you out of here?" And I thought about Israel dying where they thought they were. I thought about Israel dying in the wilderness that they made for themselves in obedience, disobedience. And I repented the rest of the night. I mean the rest of the night. When I walked out of that little old house, that little room, the next day, it was as hot as it had ever been. Situations hadn't changed, folks. But I loved every Indian I could get my hands on. I hugged them and I kissed them. And I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Nobody was changed but me. Nobody was changed but me. I decided I'm going to be here 21 days. We need to have Bible classes, not just build a school. We need to have teaching. We cleared off places in the ground and I drew diagrams there. And when I did leave that place, I left crying, I left tears running, you know, I didn't want to leave. And yet the situation, you know, it was as hot as it ever had been. But now I'm there in Christ. Now I'm there in Him. And that makes all the difference that there is to be made.
Amen.
Because everything else is temporary. Everything else comes and goes. You know? Yes. The Lord releases you from places of service according to His own will from time, but it's never because I'm hollering and screaming, you know, I can't take this anymore, get me out. I was talking recently to brothers about that, and the Lord does that, and He prepares you for that, and you know a thing has come to its end. And I understand that, but what I'm talking about was just the condition and the circumstances. I just want out. It's one of those, just get me out of here. I don't care about what I'm supposed to be doing here. I don't care about the fact that you sent me. I don't care about nothing. Just get me out of here. Just totally motivated by the circumstance, totally motivated by the situation. This was Israel, hon. This was Israel the whole time they were in the wilderness. You look at it. They were totally motivated by every circumstance and situation. They griped and grumbled and moaned and complained the whole time.
Amen. Right. They sure did.
And they got up to the point of the transition to where they were to enter in and become an expression of a fullness they hadn't been walking in. There was no way on God's earth. They weren't any different at the Jordan than they were back there at the bitter waters. They weren't any different at the Jordan than they were when God rained manna down out of the heavens because they griped and grumbled. And then, you know, they weren't any different. They were the same bunch. And for the same reason, they wouldn't enter in. They wouldn't make the transition that we'll be looking at maybe tomorrow night. They would not do it. They refused to do it. They went back, that's where the wilderness wanderings begin, as you well know, at Kadesh Barnea, or Barnea. Well, there was no place for them now in the wilderness, was there? See, they'd made the trip, but they weren't meant to be there. There was no place for them. There was no place for them. They couldn't find it. There was no place for them. There is no place for you in the wilderness, hon. There's no place for you there.
Amen.
You're not going to find satisfaction there. You're not going to find anything there. You're going to work yourself to death and never find satisfaction. I mean, if that's where you are.
That's right. Amen.
Well, Israel thought they were escapees without a house, without a country, without a dwelling place. But in God's view, the door was not a way out, but a way in. Ultimately, it comes to be fulfilled in Exodus 15:17. You've read that. You've read that. It's just a few chapters over from the 12th chapter here. They have come across. See, even in this, they're ignoring. They've come through the Red Sea. They're on the other side. This is the song of Moses. Verse 17, thou shalt bring them in, plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. See, in. The whole thought of God's mind was related to bringing a people in, not getting a people out. Well, our hearts will hear this one time. I'm not all that sure that mine has. Because we're too nonchalant about it. We're just too nonchalant about it. We still, deep down in our souls, I'm not trying to accuse you or condemn you, but I mean we Christians, Christianity. Deep down in our soul, we've still got this idea, well, that's okay, one day I'm going to heaven. One day God will get me out of all of this. Well, hon, salvation is not God's plan to get you out. Salvation is God's plan and purpose to bring you in. See, to bring you in. My point is just this, hon. There's nothing for us to get out of. There is a Christ for us to live in. And if we're not living in Him, then where are we living?
Amen.
I mean, if our thought is still about getting out, and too much time it is, hon, I deal with people 365 days a year. You know that. And well, you do too. You do too, in some way or another. You do too. But I listen to believers. I hear from them. I hear, you know. And I hear deep down in that, I hear there's still, oh God, there's still that, you know, if everything else fails, God will get me out. Well, you know, we really have no scripture for that. Everything else has failed, and God has brought us in. But our failure to live there is counted with God as unbelief. Our failure to live there is a direct reproach to the blood of Jesus Christ, a direct reproach to the death and burial and resurrection of our Lord. And I think that in the life of any true believer, there are times when God seeks to deal with them accordingly. Seeks to deal with them accordingly. I know the writer of the Hebrew letter was very much concerned about that when he was dealing, obviously, with the church. The door is not Israel's way out, but rather God's way in. I've mentioned this. I make a point out of it now. They did not escape from Egypt. They all died in Egypt with the Lamb. Now, they didn't die with the Egyptians. They died in Egypt with the Lamb. They identified with His death. With His death. And then, as the firstborn son, they were raised up out from among the dead. Now, I'm going to stay with that for just a little bit, maybe all we're going to deal with, but I'm going to stay with that. They were raised out from among the dead. In other words, Egypt could not hold them. Egypt couldn't hold them. Egypt tried to come after them, but could not walk in the way. It destroyed them. Why? Because they didn't enter the way through the door.
Amen.
Oh. It all comes at the door, hon. Everything. There's not a door and a way. No, I am the door, the way, the truth, and it's all I am. It's Him. It's not a bunch of things. It's all things realized in Him. What I'm saying is, you don't take a shortcut around the door and jump in the way. You'll drown in the sea. You've got to come by the door to walk in the way. What I'm telling you is, the way is the death of the Lamb, not merely Adam dead in sin. There's a greater death than being dead in sin. There's a greater death. Come on, hon. You and I were already dead in sin, already separated from God. There's got to be a death that swallows that up. Jesus did not die in sin. He died to sin. He became all men, past, present, and future, and brought mankind to its adjudicated death. See? He did that. It was like mankind was under a sentence. The day you do this, thou shalt surely die. A judge passed a sentence. It's like if our judicial system really worked, that God's does. If ours did, it would be like this. So this guy is sentenced to death. And he is placed in penitentiary. He's placed on death row. The judicial system is true. He is actually guilty. He actually deserves death. All of that being assumed, there he is. But he cannot die. Though he's dead, he's as dead as dead as dead if the judicial system is perfect. He is dead. He isn't going to get an appeals lawyer. He isn't going to get off. He's dead. But he can't die until the appointed time of the judge. But he's dead, hon. He lives in death. He lives as a dead man. He is separated from all forms of life, even naturally. And there he is. And yet, he can't die. He's dead and can't die. This is Adam. Up until the cross, this was Adam. He's dead. He's separated from God. There's no life for him. Yet, there's no end for him either. There's no completion to this thing. Somebody's got to bring it to a finality. In the time appointed of the Father, the time that was appointed to every man to die, in that time God sent forth His Son.
Amen.
And when He died, mercifully, all died with Him. Now then He says to the dead, now, if any man among you will hear My voice and obey, will come unto Me, he will find life. He will find rest. For I am the resurrection and the life. But you have to come to Him by His death, not by your death. You understand? Your death is the death. Your death is the death of sin. He has swallowed that up. He has accomplished that. But He has died to sin. He has died to sin.
Amen.
Yeah. So you look to Him, you look to the blood of the Lamb. God didn't say, run out there, kill you an Egyptian, put His blood on the door, I'm fixing to deliver you from Egypt. No, that's not the point at all. You don't get into the house of God by the blood of a dead Adam.
No.
You come there through the death of His Son, which is the death of obedience. You look there to that death. And you reckon His death to be your death.
Amen.
To where I no longer live. I don't live as a sinner. I don't live as a saint. I don't live, period. He brought the whole thing, not just of sin, but of the first man, of the whole creation. His death is this all-consuming death. Out from which He was resurrected by the Father. Yes. Like as Christ was raised up from among the dead by the glory of God, even so we should walk in newness of life. He's the one raised up, see? Firstborn. From among the dead. Firstborn among many brethren. Firstborn among all those who will count themselves dead with Him. Unto themselves, unto the world, unto sin, unto everything, but alive unto God through Him again.
Amen.
Not those that go through the door finding themselves. No, 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 no. You never quite make it past the door.
No.
It's entering into His death. It's the death of the Lamb. Not a death of an Egyptian, the death of the Lamb. That night, Israel died, Egypt died, everybody died, and they died by the blood of the Lamb. But Egypt would not go through the door. Did not go through the door. But they died nonetheless. Israel died, but they died with the Lamb. They claimed His death as their death, and to that there is a resurrection. But the resurrection is not me living, it's Him living in me.
Amen.
Hallelujah! The firstborn Son comes forth in the resurrection. We are that body that He raises up together with Him for the purpose of giving Him expression.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is what God sees. This is what God is faithful to. God is faithful to His covenant with the Son. And we see that. Not that God had to be reminded of anything by Moses, but that Moses might understand this thing. We see that because God said, you want me just to just wipe them all out and get a new group? Moses starts talking about, well, no, how about your covenant with Abraham? You know, well, they're not walking after that covenant anyway. Yes, but nonetheless, Abraham was faithful to that covenant. And you understand the covenant with Abraham is both toward a natural seed and a spiritual seed. When does it end with the natural seed? When the spiritual seed should come. But at that time, it was the natural seed who was in type and shadow, and God was faithful to His covenant.
Amen.
He was faithful to His covenant. And yet, those that disobeyed, those that would not enter in, died. So how was God faithful to His covenant? Out of them, He just raised up a new Israel. He didn't go find another one. Out of them, their children, their little ones. Now I'm making this short for your sake tonight because I have a whole notebook full of scripture on all of that. You can find this. I've printed it all out. And it really makes an impact on you when you actually read it. For instance, when the Lord is dealing with them concerning, you know, that, I don't know whether I can find it long enough without, you know, making our session or, you know, losing my thought here any not, but yeah. Yeah, Numbers 14, 30 through 32 is just one of the places. Doubtless, ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to you, which I swear to make you dwell in, save Caleb and Joshua. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, I will bring them in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. My God, I'm telling you, you know, it's one thing when I stand up here and I'm teaching and say it, but it's another thing when you get in the Scripture and look, and it looks you right in the face and you say, my God, yeah, yeah, but as for you, and I don't know where we think we're going to find life. I don't know where we think we're going to live life. Off in heaven somewhere? Hon, that's an imagination of the wilderness. That's an imagination. Come on. I mean, in that concept. I'm not telling you it's not heaven, yes, but you find that in Christ, and you find it eternally in Him, too. You find it eternally in Him. But it is part of that great salvation. It is part of that reality that you and I are to be a daily expression of in the earth. And if we're not that, then what are we? And I'm saying, if we're not that, what good are we? What good really was this bunch that wouldn't go in? What really good were they? I mean, what were they good for? And I've heard writers, you know, almost glorify the wilderness, how that Israel learned all these things. You know, they had to be in the wilderness because God taught them by them being in the wilderness. I'm thinking, that's no, 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 no. What they learned in the wilderness was how to die. They all died in the wilderness. They didn't learn a thing in the wilderness. They didn't learn a thing by wandering in the wilderness. What they learned here at the tabernacle, which they would have learned anyway. Because herein is the way, the truth, and the life. Here is the testimony of God. Here it is set right there in the midst of them. And that wasn't because they were wandering around in the wilderness. God said, well, I'll give them some comfort. There was no comfort for them. They died. And immediately upon when the last one of them died, immediately, the Lord said, time to go in.
Amen.
Time to go in.
Hallelujah.
I mean, it was like all of that had just been a dream. Hadn't even existed. Brings them right back to the same situation, to the same land, same month. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. See?
Lord.
It's the resurrection here. That's what He brought them out in the first place.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes. Resurrection, because here God set in front of them and in their very midst a true vision of heaven. A true view of heaven. They were to manifest that in the earth.
Amen.
They wouldn't go in and do that. And that's why God said it. At that not entering, God said, okay, I'll tell you what, they're all going to die, but my glory shall, as surely as I live, my glory shall fill the earth. In other words, there will be a manifestation of heaven. There will be this. I will have, and He did have.
Amen.
And He did have.
Glory
to God. He did have.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hon. Well, I'm not going to keep you late tonight, but what I want us to understand is that it makes no difference what things look like around us, whether they look good or whether they look bad. The only view that counts is God's view. And the only way you and I can come into God's view is in the face of His Son.
Amen.
Is in the face of His Son.
Hallelujah.
talking recently with a brother. There is a time for the setting aside of ourselves to seek the faith of His Son.
Amen.
Not being ruled necessarily by the circumstances, situations, but by that overwhelming urge to see Him.
Amen.
I just want to leave you with that. If I could just find it here, and maybe I can find it here. Yes. Exodus 33, verse 14 and 15. And Moses said, or God said here in verse first, He said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And Moses said, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up thence. In other words, if I can't go in your presence, I don't want to go. If I can't do this, is out from you and in your presence, I don't want to do it. If I can't go here, if it's not in your presence, I don't want to go.
Right.
Yeah. And it brings us to that point. It was like I was telling you that little story about India. Now it looks like little. Then it was, you know, but the point is, hon, the only thing God did was reveal His Son. Caused me to know I'm in the Son. That's all He did. It's reveal His Son. And that changed it all, man. I mean, I had clear-cut direction when I walked out of that room the next morning. And it really had nothing to do with India at all. It had to do with the realization of truth, a realization of being in Christ. It all had to do with coming into God's line of view.
Amen.
And manifesting that on the earth. Hun, that's the most powerful view. Oh, to manifest that view. How do we reign? How do we we manifest that view? Yes, manifesting in the earth the reality that is in Christ. Nothing is greater than that. Nothing. You know, everybody else is standing there wringing their hands crying. You're the only lunatic rejoicing, but man, you're rejoicing. And not only that, you're manifesting. If people would just turn and see, they could rejoice with you.
Praise the Lord.
They could rejoice with you.
Hallelujah.
The world is not coming to an end. It's already come to an end. I'm in Christ. We could help some believers with their fears if they'd just listen.
That's right.
If they'd just listen. I mean, I've heard people say, all these hurricanes, you know, this is God's judgment. Hun, God didn't need hurricanes to help Him out. He got all the judgment He wanted here at the door. He got all the judgment He wanted in His Son at the cross. He doesn't need hurricanes to help Him out. He doesn't need hurricanes. Have you think that's going to wipe out sin? You think those hurricanes wiped out any sin? Probably a lot of good people died. What part of sin do you think they might have wiped out? That's stupid. Let's don't think that way. Let's don't think that way. There's only one thing that brought about the end of time, and that was the cross. It was the cross. Israel got right here to the door. Egyptian time ended. God's time started. This will be to you the beginning of time. Hallelujah. And all of these dealings with Israel the rest of the time, always we're back to that door. Always we're back to that feast. That feast of Passover always set the time for everything in Israel. Everything related to that. You understand what I'm saying? Everything. Everything always related to the door. Hon, the true door came. The true door came. The true blood was shed. The cross. Everything of God's creation relates back to that. That's the time it began. That's the time it began. Everything relates to the cross. Everything relates to the door. And all of God's dealings in your heart and in my heart are out from that truth and out from that realization. And I trust that we will just allow the Lord. I'm not telling you circumstances and situations aren't real. I'm telling you that God sees you in a relationship, in a place, if you please, that is much more real and is not passing. It is eternal. And He deals with you there to bring that to your realization so that in the realization of that, you can deal with the passing turmoil that is upon the earth. And just as the Lord Jesus did, say to it, "Peace be still." You may not be able to talk to the people that are involved in it, but you can talk to the situation and you will have peace. Peace be still. Don't disturb me anymore. And there may not be a person involved in it. You know, hear what you say. And at the point in time, you won't really care.
Hallelujah.
I mean, from a motivational standpoint, you won't really care. Hallelujah. Somebody asked me one time, and I'm wrapping up here, but I'm finished. Somebody asked me one time, "Brother Lewis, does it ever bother you that you go people and, you know, places and people don't listen to what you say or believe what you say? Does it ever bother you?" I said, "Well, not really, not to the point that it becomes a deterrent or even a motivational thought with me." I said, "I speak the truth for the joy of speaking the truth, whether anybody would hear or not. The truth is the truth." And that may not be well said. Maybe I could explain that better, but I don't know. It's not that I care or don't care whether people do hear or not, but as to affecting me speaking it, no. It doesn't affect me a bit, because I speak the truth for the truth's sake. I speak the truth because I love the truth. I love the truth. I love the truth. We speak what we know. Amen. If someone hears, we rejoice with them. If they don't hear, then we rejoice in the truth that we speak. Because it all points back to a work that is already done, a finished work, a door that is already open. Yes, it has blood on it, but there it is open for whoever would enter in. And I'm not talking about just to the carnal concept of salvation either. I'm talking about into the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. Well, how can we but declare that door? How can we but declare that truth?
Hallelujah.
Yes. See, He came to His own. His own received Him not. What did He say? "Well, they're not going to receive me. I'll just believe. I'll call it all off." No. No, He didn't call it all off. "And as many as received Him." "Well, hon, I can talk to people all day long. They don't believe me. I'm not going to quit." Why? Because the truth is the truth. The truth is the truth where any man believes it, and whether anyone believes it, the truth is still the truth. It's been established by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's been established in Him. And if we walk therein, there is life and life more abundantly. And I trust that we will just let the Lord turn our hearts to see Him in this way. Not just sitting here tonight, but every day. Every day. Every day. Hallelujah. That we come to His point of view. To His point of view. To His point of view. Not looking to one side or the other. Not denying what is going on. around us as things in the world. But our motivation, our rest, our purpose, coming from the reality of where God sees us as being, where He has brought us to be, where the Son is being revealed. And there will be times, as we have discussed and as I've discussed with others, there are times. There have been times that I have, had to come aside. Yes. The Lord seems to say, you haven't been this way before. He's a large way.
Amen.
And it's more important that I walk in that way than it is that I, do anything else. So, let our hearts, if our hearts are for Him. Someone asked me one time in teaching along this very same line, how do we do this? How do we not look back? How do we? Well, I just had to turn to Hebrews, looking unto Jesus. And the only way you don't turn back is looking unto Jesus. You don't quit looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Learning Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Blessed be the Lamb of the living God.
Amen.
Looking, if you have a heart true to see Him, the Lord will, He will direct you in that truth.
Amen.
I think He is more, He has a greater desire to reveal His Son than we have to see Him, no matter how great our desire is.
Praise the Lord.
So what I'm trying to tell you, if the heart turns, the Lord will appear.
Amen.
Amen. Well, the Lord bless you, and may He just deal with us by His Spirit. And don't forget, sometimes I know we seemingly do, maybe we don't, but everything we're talking about is a work of the Spirit. It's something that the Spirit of God has to work in you. Therefore, you have to cultivate a relationship with the Spirit of God. He's probably not going to chase you down, throw you down, catch you, tie you up, and drag you off somewhere. When we speak of knowledge, we're not talking about Gnosticism. We're not talking about natural knowledge, not even natural knowledge of spiritual things. We're talking about the Holy Spirit working in you. And I just have been in every place I've been, and I'm going to do this tonight. I've been encouraging those there to cultivate a relationship in the Spirit. Spend time praying in the Spirit. I do that. I pray in tongues every day. Not so I can speak in tongues, but that's a means to an end. But I also know that I'm not going to get to that end except the Spirit lead me there.
Amen.
And bring me there.
Right.
So we're not involved in doctrines, even doctrines of Christ. We're involved in something that must be worked out in you by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We're involved in a reality of Christ and a revelation of Christ that can only be worked in you by the Holy Spirit. Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Just know this, that in all things the Spirit is working toward the revealing of the I Am. In all things, He's working toward the revealing of Christ in His fullness.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Amen. Well, the Lord bless.